Amen and amen and amen. So obviously, we had to change some things up. Abby decided that she needed to have an audition this afternoon today. Can you believe a school would schedule that on a Sunday? And so Jen stepped up, and man, amen and amen. Are we blessed or what? Amen? Because I can tell you what, it's hard to do it from behind the drums. I'll tell you that much right now. So thank you, Jen. Thank you so much. Amen and amen. So this morning, we are beginning to have a conversation over the next several weeks talking about something that's very important to us here at Island Church. In fact, if you see in the, well, it's already there. There it is. It's who we are. We want to talk about our three core values, which simply tell others about us. And hopefully, we're living these things out. I got to say, I can't wait till summer's over and everyone's back. I'm tired of vacation, but that's cool. It happens. I'll be gone next week. No, I'm kidding. You've seen them on the back of our tees. Some, I don't know if anyone's wearing any today, but it says abide. There's one back there, connect and share, which simply means we are looking up. We want to have a relationship with God. We want to have an inward relationship with each other, and we want to have an outward relationship with those people who are far from God so that through us, they would come to know God. Amen? So for the next several weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to go over these. We actually did a series last summer, but we're going to try to dive deep a little deeper this time. Look at these core values one by one, and we're going to look at them from a biblical point of view using God's word. And I hope what's going to happen is that you're going to hopefully hear something that you haven't already heard that's going to cause in you a desire to change and get closer to God in a new way, maybe a freeing way. And what we're hoping is that this is going to be, if you're grasping this concept, which is biblical, it is going to be transformational. And it's going to lead to a newfound freedom that maybe you have yet to experience in your walk with Jesus Christ. That's my hope, at least. So let's pray together. Let's ask God to just get our hearts and minds ready for his word this morning. Father, we come to you, Lord, and we pray for those that are not here today, first and foremost, that wherever they are safe. You're keeping them safe as they travel. While a lot of our parents are taking students to school, and it's out of town, out of state, even far away. And we just pray for their safety, Lord God. We pray for those that might be on vacation this weekend. We pray for those that maybe, Lord, it's going to be hard to say, but I'm going to say it, maybe have just stopped the gathering of together, Lord, because of other things. And I pray that hopefully they're watching today, Lord, and your word will speak into their life and speak to them, Lord, about the importance of your family, the family of God. And so I pray, Lord, that this word would speak to us, it would appeal to us, that your Holy Spirit would convict us and speak to us in a new way, that Lord would do something that would cause us to live within the freedom that Christ came to give us and experience him in a whole new way. That's my prayer, Lord. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak through me, that, Lord, what I say here is not Paul, but we want to have godly revelation, so I want to get out of your way so that we hear from heaven, Lord. So have your way this morning. May our eyes, ears, and spirit be open to you, Lord, and may we hear and receive in Jesus' name. And we all agreed and said, amen. You know, I'm sure, like myself, and you're probably going to agree with me on this one, you all have discovered that life does not have some sort of formula that we can just punch in some certain variables and some numbers, and boom, we get the results that we want. Anybody experienced that? I haven't, right? It just doesn't work that way, does it? And what happens is when things don't work out the way that we intended with our well-intended efforts, sometimes what happens is we begin to blame ourselves. Or we give up. And what I would say to you is, before you do that, for whatever reason, you need to realize that sometimes we are just going to work in our own effort, and it's going to blow up in our face. How many of that happened to you before, right? Now, there are other times on the flip side of the coin, as my father-in-law would say, there are other times when there are well-intentioned efforts on our part to do something that are just actually getting in the way of what God wants to do for us. We are trying too hard. It prevents us from receiving what God wants us to receive. Anybody ever experienced that before? Yeah. And there's one biblical example of this that can be seen in the life of Peter. Of Peter, yeah. When we look at Peter's life, man, Peter had some famous blunders, didn't he? I mean, they're recorded in the Bible for us to see, and we're like, man, I don't want to be Peter. But yeah, we do that, don't we? We follow in Peter's footsteps so often. But unlike Judas, Peter's failures were not rooted in bad motives. They weren't rooted in bad motives. And I think that's where a lot of Christians are today in our walk with the Lord. Some of our well-intentioned efforts are not rooted in bad motives, but sometimes we are just looking at it from a misguided point of view. Or, truth, sometimes we're aiming at the wrong target. We're aiming at the wrong target. And so, for example, if we look at scriptures, and go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 16, I'll give you a head start before I get there. For example, when Judas had betrayed Jesus, we see just a few hours later that Peter lashes out and he cuts someone's ear off. Remember that? And Jesus heals the man. We see that, but he rebukes Peter in the process. And if we rewind just a little bit before all of that happened, we see in Matthew that Jesus was telling all the disciples about everything that he would have to suffer. Peter wouldn't have any of that though, right? This is one of his blunders. And this is what's recorded in Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 22. It says, "And Peter took him aside," speaking of Jesus, "and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far it be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. I've got the sword. I'm ready to go. I'm going to cut someone's ear off.' But Jesus turned to him and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind, listen, on the things of God, but on the things of man.'" Peter was aiming at the wrong target. He was misguided because he was looking at what Jesus was saying from his point of view and not from God's point of view. Like so many of us do in our life, don't we? We do that, right? We do it all the time. And so listen, if your well-intentioned efforts keep blowing up in your face, this can simply be a sign that God is trying to get you to do less so that he can do more in your life. Amen? Amen? I didn't get an amen for that because you wouldn't like that, because we like to be in control, don't we? Come on, raise your hand. How do you like to be in control? That's human nature. It's just a sign of insecurity. I'll be honest with you, it is. So when we look at Peter, we look at all his wrong efforts, it brings us simply to our dilemma today. We have a dilemma. How many of you know we have a dilemma? We have a dilemma. A lot of Christians, they wonder. They're sitting there wondering in their spirit, what is the goal of the Christian life? You know, and for the better part of 3+ decades of being in ministry, I hear simply, what is the goal of a Christian life? Or another way that it said, what is God's will for my life? I've heard that so often. What is God's will for my life? And sometimes when we look at that and we say, well, what is the goal of the Christian life? Some people would say, well, the goal of the Christian life is to live for Jesus. Simply to live for Jesus. God has done so much for me in the person of Jesus that I want to try to live my life to the best of my abilities for him. Did you catch the key word in there? What? Try. Did you hear that? Try. I'm going to try to the best of my abilities. And when the goal of the Christian life, listen, for us is trying to live for Jesus, the goal of the Christian life can be summed up in one word. You know what it is? It's obedience. It's obedience. This is where I think a lot of us really get trapped. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to quote Vance Pittman because this is what he said about obedience. He says, "The more I live for God through obedience, the closer I get to hitting the target of being a good Christian." Question mark. I should have put a question mark there because that's what he's saying. Really? Is that what it means? And listen, if that is what you're doing, if that is what you're thinking this morning, my friends, you've got a problem. You've got a problem. You see, when you build your life around the goal of obeying God, this is going to hurt. You are being religious. You're being religious. You're walking into religion, catch this, and not relationship. You're walking into religion and not relationship. You're walking into religion and not relationship. I don't want my words to be minced because somebody's going to say what did he just say? And you know what? You know what that is when we walk into religion and not relationship? All we're doing is tying ourselves down to something. We're creating another burden in our lives. And I don't know about you, but that's just one more thing that we need. How about you? I could use another burden. I could use another ball and chain. No. In Galatians 5:1, I'm ad-libbing here, Paul wrote, "It is for freedom that Christ came to set you free." You know, on this side of glory, I've got some really sobering news for you. You cannot live a life of total obedience to God. We just can't do it. We just can't do it. And the truth is, you ready for this? We know we can't do it. How many of you know that? I know I can't do it. I know I can't do it. And do you know what happens when we try to achieve that goal that we just can't achieve? All we're doing is subjecting ourselves to more guilt and more condemnation. And when we do that, you know what happens? We end up putting another burden on our heads. And we become more and more trapped. And my friends, that is not freedom in Christ. It's not. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 11. You know this scripture, but I'm going to read it anyway for those of you that may not. This is Jesus' own words. He said in Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you work." No. He said, "I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am hard and I will beat you up." No, he said, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find more work for your soul." No, he said, "You will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Hey, man, what are we doing? What are we doing? And this morning, you know what my hope is for you? My hope is that all of us, we become unburdened this morning, and we see for the first time, if you're walking around and you're living in religion, or maybe you're trying and you don't realize you're trying, maybe you're aiming at the wrong target. This morning, I'm praying, my heart's prayer for you is that your eyes would be open, the eyes of your spirit would be open to a new found freedom in Jesus Christ that's found in relationship and not religion. I want to give you a beautiful and really just clear depiction of what Jesus desires for you and me. And it's found in Mark chapter 3. So we're bouncing around a little bit in the Gospels. That's okay. They're close to each other, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We can find them, right? So go ahead and turn with me to Mark chapter 3. And listen to this passage. It's recorded. It said, Jesus, he went up on the mountain, catch this, and he, everybody do this with me. He summoned those whom he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach. So here's a question I want to ask you. It's on the screen. Why did he call these men as disciples? What did he say in that previous scripture? What did it say? Why? Say it again. So that they could be with him. He summoned them unto himself. He didn't go, "I want you to come here. I'm going to train you, and then you're going to go to work." He said, he summoned them unto himself so that they could be with him. I want you to notice something. Jesus said that their purpose was not to live for him. In fact, He didn't say that he was calling them to obey him. He wasn't calling them to come and honor him or to please him in some sort of specific way. He called them so that they could be with him and he could be with them. I don't want you to miss this message, Jesus' message of truth that's found right here in the scripture. It's so beautiful because scripture clearly is teaching us following in Jesus, listen, is not about doing. Following Jesus is about being. Isn't that beautiful? We get so busy in spiritual activity and doing stuff. I got to do this. I will go crazy. That we don't stop to be with Jesus, who at the end of the day is our source. He's the reason why we do it, but man, we just blast by him. I'm too busy for you. I don't know about you, but when this settled in my spirit, man, it wrecked me. It wrecked me. All this activity that I had spent all of my adult life doing for God, this Christian activity, I've got to do this, I've got to do the works, got to do the works, got to do it. It meant nothing. It meant nothing. It just wrecked me. You see, if we're not careful, we'll be doing so much for Jesus that we won't be with Jesus. You know, why did God step out of heaven in the person of Jesus? Yeah, it was to fulfill his promise, to make a way for us. There's no doubt about that. But it was also to show us that he wanted to be with us. He wanted to show us what right relationship with God looked like. And it wasn't a bunch of work. It was simply to be with him. I want you to look with me at Luke chapter 10. Such a great illustration of exactly what I think a lot of us do and what God desires instead. And Jesus shows us right here in Luke chapter 10. It's beautiful. I hope it speaks to your heart. Look at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, and it's speaking of the disciples and their entourage. It says, now as they were on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha, oh my gosh, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and she said, Lord, come on. Do you not care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Look at her. I mean, just look at her. Will you tell her to get up and help me? And Jesus said to her, oh, Martha. I can see he's crying, Martha, 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 Martha. Martha, you are anxious. You're troubled about a lot of things. But one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary, and your sister Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. That's so many of us. That's a picture of so many of us in our Christian walk. That's exactly what we're doing. We're so busy in spiritual activity, we miss just being with Jesus. In his sweet presence. We miss the sweetness. Listen, the sweetness of sitting at his feet. We miss the intimacy of knowing him deeply. And why? Because we're so busy. So busy. You've heard me say this before, and you might want to make note of this. You got a little journal, a little something you're writing down with. Spiritual activity does not equal spiritual maturity. Spiritual activity does not equal spiritual maturity. There's a second part to that passage in Mark. That's very important. And you're going to go, oh, there it is. I knew it was coming, the work part. There it is. I knew it was coming. Jesus sent them out to preach. That's what they had to do. And yeah, Jesus did send his disciples out to preach. But I want you to hold on. I want you to just catch this for a minute. I want you to notice, can we put that scripture up? Is it up there? I want you to notice the they and the he in that verse. They were to be with him and he would send them out to preach. I'm ad-libbing here. When we look at this passage and we look at the word preach, I got to stay in a certain realm because Charlie's going to get mad. I got to stay here. Yeah, I saw him. He was looking at the camera. I was like, I knew. He's keeping me straight. When we see that word preach, you know, it doesn't mean that we're going to go out and let me tell you the good news of Jesus and, you know, going out and preaching. What it meant was, when we look at that scripture, it means that if they were going to be with him, they would preach. They would preach out of the overflow of their relationship of being with Christ by showing the world. Their preaching was showing that Jesus was with them and he was in them. They were preaching with their lives. With their lives. Out of the overflow of being with Jesus. And when we see that, listen, this is so important. This is so important. They were called to be with him, and it would be out of the overflow of their being with him that he would make, Jesus would make his life public through them. Through them. It's all about relationship. It's all about relationship. And I love what this book we read that we've got all this from just says. It says, stop living for Jesus. Huh? Yeah, stop living for Jesus so that Jesus can live through you. See, that's trying. You're trying to live for Jesus. Just let him live through you. Just let him live through you. It is out of the overflow of intimate relationship with Jesus that he will make his life public through yours. Is that freeing? Is that freeing? All this trying, all this consternation, all this falling on my face, and all I had to do was just say, Jesus, live your life through me. I want to be with you. And you know what we need to understand? We need to understand that being with Jesus is the ultimate pursuit of our Christian life. That's it. Being with Jesus is the ultimate pursuit of our Christian life. Not planning a church, not being the pastor of a church, not leading a bunch of people around, not being busy for God, not starting some new ministry and doing it, but being with him. Because it is out of the overflow of being with Jesus that he will do what he wants to do through me. The other stuff is just me trying. That's works. That's trying to earn something that you've already got for free. What's wrong with you people? What's wrong with me? Jesus gave it to us freely on the cross. And yeah, we're trying to earn it. Look, this is such an important principle for anyone who wants to live as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And it's on the screen. The primary call of your life is not to do something for Jesus. The primary call on your life is to be with Jesus. You know, when I discovered that years ago and I got out of God's way and I stopped trying to be like Peter with all these well-intentioned efforts, it all came easy because it was like God put a call on my life and I was able to step into that call freely without trying because I finally understood that it was all about being with Jesus. It was simply about knowing him intimately and personally, daily and every day. And when I did that, you know what happened? Everything just started falling into place. It was easy peasy because Jesus was doing the work, not me trying. Because it was out of the overflow of my being with him that he did exactly what he wanted to do through my life. That's so good. Jesus called me unto himself, and he calls you unto himself. And when you get this from your head to your heart, man, let it get there today, okay? That's what I'm saying. This simple truth will allow you to finally experience some real freedom in your life. You will find freedom from rules and regulations, from do's and don'ts. You will finally find freedom to simply just be with Jesus. You know, the best part of my day, this is not to pat myself on the back. I'm just telling you, the best part of my day is the morning when I just set aside time to be with Jesus. To set aside time with Jesus. And some of you are going to go, I just don't have time. And that's because you haven't made time for Jesus. Because when you've made time for Jesus, you're going to want to make time with Jesus. You will long for time with Jesus. Because it will change your life. So what is the goal of the Christian life? And the simple answer is found in our first core value at Island Church, and it's the crux of our journey in this life, our journey of sanctification, and it is to abide. It is to abide in Christ. Following Jesus is about relationship, and that relationship revolves around abiding in Him. Why do you think we read John 15 earlier? We set you up. So the question for us is, let me just say this. When you finally get to that place and you find that newfound freedom, you know what? You experience the wonderful gift of personally being with God. There's nothing like it. Sidebar. You may have a struggle in your life. You may have something that I can't overcome this thing. You're not being with Jesus. You're trying, because when you're with Jesus, everything else is eclipsed by Him. The struggle, the sin, the temptation, the world, everything is eclipsed by Him. And you're not being with Him. And so the question I have for you is, how do we put that on a practical level? How can we create meaningful practices in our life that create desired habit for us? Does that make sense? Well, let's consider the goal of being with Jesus through two primary filters. Number one, the overall objective of our Christian life is to know God. To know God. That's the overall objective of our Christian life. Is to know God personally. You know how to know that? Because in Genesis, it tells us in Genesis chapter 1, 26, it says that we were created in whose image? In God's image, right? We were created in God's image. And that means that because we were created in God's image, we were not supposed to be separated. In God's image, you know what that means? We weren't. And because we were created in God's image, you know what that means? We can relate with God. And Jesus lays this out so clearly for us in John chapter 17. I'll give you a minute to get there in your Bibles. John 17. He said this in verse 3. And I want you to really just listen to this for a moment. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is eternal life. What I'm about to tell you, and it's a shame not many people are here today, but you're watching. You know who you are. What I'm about to tell you is just going to blow some of you away. It's like your hair is going to go, you know what? Mike's going to go, "I don't have any." You know, he's in trouble. It's okay, bro. I'm sorry. We'll get you a wig. All right? But did you know, that eternal life doesn't start when you get to heaven? Did you know that? Eternal life does not start when you get to heaven. We got that song, "When We All Get to Heaven, What a Day." You're surprised I know that, right? I know hymns. I've been around the block. But eternal life does not start when we get to heaven. For us, as followers of Jesus Christ, those of you who have walked into relationship with Jesus, You and me, eternal life is happening right now as we're speaking. It's happening right now on earth. And you know how I know that? Because of that scripture. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus said it. This is what Vance Pittman says. He makes this statement. I completely agree. He says, eternal life is the incredible gift and privilege of personally knowing the only true God. And I don't know about you, but I know him. I know him. You have an opportunity to know him. In the Greek language, you know what? The word know, it's an important term in the Greek language. You see, because we look at it and we go, you know, I might read the Bible and go, I know about God because I read about God in the Bible. But in the Greek language, it actually means it is a direct personal relationship. If I know someone, and I'm using that Greek root, I don't know what it is. I use that Greek root, it means that I personally, directly know that person. I have relationship with that person. And some of you are here today. I think it's hitting my head. Some of you are here today, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're part of something more than just acquaintances. We don't come here and rub shoulders on Sunday, you know, and then we don't see each other. We live life together. We live life together. We do stuff together. We bleed together. We sweat together. We serve together. We love together. We work on cars together. We mow yards together. We watch games together. We do all sorts of stuff together. We eat. We drink coffee. We hang out. We spend time together. We live life together. I directly know you. I have personal relationship with you. That's the family of God. Amen? And for some people, that scares people away from this particular fellowship. I don't know why, and I'll tell you why. Because we were created for relationship. Some people are just dissing what God created him to be, and we shouldn't do that. So here's a hard question for us this morning. Can't see the clock. It's way back there. Still can't see it. Why don't we know God better? Why don't we know God better? Well, there's a good answer, and it has everything to do with that concept, that idea of abide. You know, Rebecca and I, you know our story. We've been together, well, we were married in June of 1995, so that means just a couple months ago, we celebrated our 28th wedding anniversary. Woo! Isn't that awesome? But we actually started dating in 1992, and in fact, in December, we will have been together 31 years. We've been together longer, you know, than, I'm trying to think here, than, what did we say the other day? I'm going blank. Thought left me. Okay, brain fart. I'm getting old. I forgot. Okay? So in those 3+ decades of being together, a lot has happened. In fact, in our home, if you go home, I bought this little thing. You know, I joke around with her a lot, and it says, we've been through a lot together. A lot of it's your fault. But that's a joke. It's funny. But over the course of those 3+ decades, we've had a lot of ups and downs. Anybody has who's been together that long, right? A lot of ups and downs, but we had a lot of ups. There's no doubt about it. But one thing is for certain, in those 31 years, we have grown deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in love. I know her more. She gets upset at me because I finish her sentences. And she's like, will you let me finish a sentence? I'm like, I know what you're going to say. You know, we just know each other that well. And if we had to do it all over again, you know, we look back and if we got married again, we'd probably do it a lot more on a simple side than what we did. We had this big grandiose wedding and church and, you know, all the stuff, the bells and the whistles. And if we had to do it all over again, we'd probably do a beach wedding, invite a few people, keep it real small and intimate, you know? Waste of money. We realize that, right? Just a waste of money. But imagine if on that day, 28 years ago, I was standing in front of Rebecca. I just want to give you just an analogy of what I think we do. And I recited these vows to her. What if I said, you know, I call her, if you know me well enough, I call her babe. I rarely call her Rebecca. So I said, babe, on this day I pledge to be your husband. I wouldn't say it like that, but I'm just kind of ad-libbing here. This is what you can expect from me from this day forward. And that is that every Sunday morning, I'm going to come see you for about an hour or two. That is, unless it's beautiful outside. the water's awesome. Maybe the boat's ready and I'm going to go fishing. Or maybe I'm just too tired. Or maybe there's other work that I need to get done. I'm going to do it then. Or maybe I just don't feel like it. But other than that, you can count on seeing me. Wink, wink. And I love you so much that one night a week, I'm going to invite people over to my house, and I'm even going to invite you to come over. Now, we're probably not going to spend a whole lot of time together. That is, unless I need something. And if I need something, I'm going to let you know. In fact, I'm going to call you. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have all my friends call you, too, on my behalf. And by the way, when I need something and I call about it, I'm going to need it right away, okay? If those were my vows to my wife, there is no way in her mind that she would say, oh, yeah, sure. No woman in her right mind would accept those vows. In fact, any man who gave those vows wouldn't live very long, right? I got one. Preach. What's the problem with that kind of relationship? I'll tell you what the problem is. It looks nothing like a love relationship. It looks nothing like a love relationship. If that is the relationship Rebecca and I have or had, we could never really come to know each other intimately, personally, directly. And I think you're getting the point. I think you're getting the point. We struggle in our walk as Christians because we can't grow in relationship with someone that we don't spend time with. Someone that we don't spend time with personally and daily. We can't grow in relationship with God if we don't know Him. And my friends, we can't put God in a box and just open that box when it's convenient for us, when we need something, because that doesn't lead to the abundant life that Jesus said that He wanted to give us. It just doesn't work. So the second primary objective in finding out what it means to practically abide in Christ is number two. It's a daily objective. We had the overall objective. Now we have the daily objective, which is to spend time with God. My friends, if you want to have real relationship with God, you've got to get to know Him personally and daily. And you know what? It's not rocket science. It is not rocket science. It's not a secret. If you want to get to know Him, you just need to spend time with Him daily. That's it. You know, a lot of people, you know what happens? They get hung up on knowledge, though. They want to know everything there is to know about God and the Bible, and they get deep theologically. And I'm not saying that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing to know. But sometimes we know more knowledge than we know the person. We know more about Him than we know Him personally and directly. And so we might have a lot of knowledge, but we lack intimacy. We lack relationship. And this is another thing that we tend to do as Christians. We tend to make our Christian walk with God so complicated that sometimes we miss Jesus. And the Christian life, I got news for you this morning, is amazingly simple. And when we understand that, we understand the weight of just abiding in Christ, we have just found freedom. You know, those disciples, man, we can read all through the Gospels. They made a lot of silly mistakes. They made a lot of silly mistakes along the way during the course of those 3.5 years that they walked with Jesus. But there's one thing that they got right. You know what that is? They spent time with Jesus. And when Jesus preached, when Jesus taught, when Jesus performed miracles, they were there. They experienced all of that. They watched, they listened, and when Jesus went from town to town to share the good news, they helped Jesus share the good news. That is how they were able to do what they did. Not because they knew a lot, not because they did something, but simply because they had been with Jesus for and a half years. They had a direct and personal relationship, an intimate relationship with Jesus. So the question for us that we really need to consider is, why don't we spend more time with Jesus? And the answer can be found in another question. And here's the question. What is the most difficult thing for you to consistently practice in your spiritual life? And over the years, you know, I have found this, and I'm sure Charlie will agree with me, and any pastor would. They hear this from so many people. It's the common answer. I don't spend time with God alone daily. That's the struggle. I just don't spend time alone with God daily. That's the most common answer. And you know why that is? Most people will get one of two answers right, because there's two answers to this. We have an enemy who's on the outside. We know him as Satan, the world, right? He's there to create chaos. He's there to create distractions. He is the enemy of God. He hates everything about God. And you know what? He doesn't want you to be with God. So he's going to create all sorts of distractions and problems in your life so that he can keep you from abiding in Christ. He knows what the Christian life is all about. And you know what? Satan doesn't care what you're doing for Jesus as long as you're not being with Jesus. Did you hear that? Satan doesn't care what you're doing for Jesus as long as you're not being with Jesus. The moment that you're out there doing all this serving, he's like, oh, they're no threat. But the moment you get on your knees and you start spending time with God alone in prayer and in reading word and intimate fellowship with God, he's going to do everything he can to stop you. Because he doesn't want that. And number two, the second enemy who hampers and even blocks all your efforts to keep you from spending time with God and abiding in God. Do you know who it is? Everybody do this. It's the enemy on the inside. It's you. It's you. You know who lies to you more than anyone else? Everybody point yourself. We lie to ourselves more. You will lie more to yourself than anyone else will. That hits home for a lot of us. You see, because it's our dreams, it's our ambitions, it's our desires, it's our wants, it's everything. All those things that we think are so important that we need to accomplish every day that leave us with no time, no room to spend time with Jesus. And what it really boils down to, and this is going to hurt, we don't spend time with God because we really don't see the need. I got this. You know, what we're really saying when we do that is that we're saying that spending time with God is a really good option. It's not a necessity. And if you were here last week, we talked about desperate prayer, didn't we? We talked about desperate prayer. We get this in our heads. If we're not desperate, we decide, you know what? I'm okay today. I'm good. I had my coffee. I got up. I'm dressed. The car's running. I got to get to work. I don't have time for this. So I'm okay. I can handle today. I don't need to spend time with God. I can make it on my own today. I'll do it tomorrow. And I remind everyone, it's like that sign over at Michelangelo's says, free pizza tomorrow. It's not going to happen. Here's the problem. If we are claiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are our follower, then you and I need to heed his words that he said in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. So we need him. And we need him every day, every moment of our lives. I don't know about you, but listen, my only hope for victory for today is found in Jesus Christ. To overcome anything that comes my way, it's not because I can do it. It's my hope is found in Jesus. That's Jesus in me. In fact, my hope for any victory, any day of my life, is going to be found in Jesus. That's it. I'm going to fail in every area in my life apart from Christ. Let me tell you, husband, failed. Father, fail. Yeah. Pastor, fail. Friend, fail. Neighbor, fail. I can go on. Fail. I'm going to fail at anything I try to accomplish on my own apart from Christ in me. And I got news for you, so will you. But when Jesus lives his life through me, The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And I've come to learn that simple fact in my life, guys. I am desperate for God. I'm desperate for God because, if I'm being honest, I'm nothing without him. If I didn't spend time with God, there's no way I could be up here preaching, nor should I. Spending time alone with God daily is an absolute necessity in order for me to experience the abundant life Jesus promised in John chapter 10, verse 10. I am come so that you might have life and have life to the full, the abundant life found in Christ. And here's my last question. We're going to close. Why don't we see the need to spend time with God daily? And you know what the answer is? Put it up there. Pride. It's pride. Pride says to God, I don't need you. I'm good today. I can do it on my own. You know, a lot of us don't like to ask for help. Anybody? It's like men. We don't like to ask for directions. You know what I'm talking about? Come on. Raise your hands. Let's be honest. You know? We don't like to ask for help. And that's pride. And you know what happens when we allow pride to rule our lives? We miss out on some of the greatest blessings that God wants to give us. We follow in the path of Satan when pride takes over our life. You know what pride looks like? It looks like this. Put this on the screen. Can you see that? That's pretty blurry, but it's a guy carrying a sofa, and because he doesn't want to ask for help, he got an office chair on the other side of the couch, and he's rolling the couch around to get it where he wants to go. And you know what? That could be me, because I'd probably come up with an idea like that because I wouldn't want to ask for help. That's pride. It's pride. Pride keeps us from asking for help. It keeps us stuck. It keeps us tied up in burdens and cares, and pride keeps us alone. Has there been a moment in your life when you just had to cast your pride aside because you just couldn't do it? You're like, I don't care anymore. I need help, and I just can't do it. I can think of many moments in my life where the Lord humbled me, and I had to cast my pride aside, and I finally said, you know what? I can't do this by myself. You know, one of the hardest things I had to do was years ago when I stepped out of church as usual and was going to plant a church. I could do it by myself. I had to ask for help. I've got a bad back. You all know that. There are times when I have to ask for help. You know, at the age of 28, I was diagnosed with degenerative disc disease. I got 3 in my neck and 3 in my lower back. Wow, that's awesome. 28. That's 23 years ago. Still going. That's great. But you know, it's hard because there are times when I just can't do things. There are times when my back just goes out and I collapse. There was one time it happened in the shower. I had to call Gigi. I call her Gigi Norma, and I said, I need you to go pick up the kids. She said, do you need me to come over? I said, no, don't come over. I just fell out of the shower. I don't need you coming over. You know, I dragged myself out of the room. I called Rebecca. She came home and helped me get up. And there was another time, and this is the hard, one of the hardest times for me, where I just collapsed in the bedroom. My back went out. I couldn't move. And I had to ask my teenage son at the time, I'd cry out for help. I said, Sam, I need help. And he had to come and pick me up and carry me to the bed. I needed help. I needed help. You know, our attitude so often is, nope, I can do it myself. I got this. I don't need anyone. And when we say that, I don't need God either. And if that were my attitude, and if that's your attitude, when things happen in your life, you're just going to find yourself laying on the floor frustrated, beat down again because of well-intentioned efforts that got you stuck. Now, you want to know what's going to happen if you respond intentionally in abiding in God and Jesus and his presence rather than trying to strive on your own, trying to struggle on your own, trying to live for Jesus? You know what's going to happen? God is going to give you grace. God is going to give you grace. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Stop and think about that. All those times where you let your pride get in the way and you missed out on God's grace. All those times that you missed out on a blessing that God wanted to pour on your life because you were just stubborn, like me. But when we finally approach God with humility and we abide in Jesus, when we approach God like that, He gives grace. He surrounds your life with grace. And it is by grace, if you didn't know this, that we see our need for God. Because when He pours out grace, you're like, I need this. And then you realize, I need to give this to others too. I need God. And my friends, the more that we open up God's word, we spend time with Him daily, the more that we get to know Him directly, personally, have fellowship with Him, do you know what happens next? The more that we know Him, the more that we love Him. And the more that we love Him, the more that our lives are conformed to His image. That, my friends, is the beauty of abiding in Christ. That is the goal of the Christian life. Will you bow your heads with me? Before I pray, I just want to ask, while your heads are bowed, no one's looking, if you found yourself stuck, you found yourself trying, you found yourself to be that person who's just struggling, you're like, man, I've been trying to live for Christ. I've been trying to be obedient. I've been trying to do everything. And today you've heard this message and you realize, I've been trying to do, but I haven't been with Jesus. And I want to be with Jesus. I need to be with Jesus. We are not human doings. We are human beings. We're meant to be with Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. No one's looking. I want to pray with you this morning. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. This morning, my prayer, and I'm going to ask you to pray this, is God, give me a desire for You like I have not ever experienced before, to be with You, to be where You are, so that I can't get enough. And I'm always desperate for Jesus. That's your prayer. Father, I pray this morning, Lord God, for those that raise their hand and for all of us, that, Lord, we would find the true freedom that is found in Jesus Christ, that everything that we always needed, we already had, and it was in Jesus. We don't have to try. We don't have to do because, Lord, when we finally realize that it is out of the overflow of just being with Jesus, You will do everything that You desire to do through us, but You will first do it in us through our being with You. Lord, I just pray this morning someone's life has been changed. They have been set free. They have discovered a newfound freedom in just abiding in Christ, being with You. This morning, Lord, you know, we've probably struggled with some sin. We've probably struggled with some temptation. We've got something in our lives that we're like, I just can't stop. And it's because we haven't been with Jesus, because when we're with Jesus, it changes everything. And so I pray this morning, Lord, for everyone who can hear my voice, everyone that raised their hand, that they would step into a new found freedom found in just being with Jesus. Let us stop being busy. Let us find time to just sit at Your feet and listen like Mary did, so that we would experience the one thing that would not be taken away from us, being with Jesus. I thank You for this word, Lord. It's so simple and yet so powerful. I thank You for Your scriptures that just enhance this, Lord, that allow us to realize that, Lord, we can begin to live within that eternal life now just by knowing You, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. This morning, Lord, let us experience that freedom that you have come to give. When you know the truth will set you free. And that truth is, it's all about relationship. Thank you, Lord. Let us step into a new place. And this morning, Lord God, I pray for freedom in Christ for all like we have not yet experienced. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen and amen.